This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our meeting of the ThinkWiz IRT on Tuesday, 21st of June, 2016. My name is Fabien Betregneux with the Global Domains Division of ICANN. I see that currently we have with us from the IRT Jody, Joyce, Richard, Roger, Steve, and Theo. I hope that by the time we're done with this introduction, we'll have other IRT members joining us. Let me ask if I'm missing anyone that would be on the line but not in the IRT Connect. I'm not hearing anybody. Okay, so a few reminders before we jump into our agenda. Please make sure your line is muted when you're not speaking. This meeting is recorded and will be transcribed for the purpose of the transcript. Please don't forget to say your name when you speak. And finally, if at any time you would like to get into the queue to speak, please do so by raising your hand in the IRT Connect. In terms of our agenda for today, here is my suggestion. We would go through an update of some of the key discussion we've had so far around the validation rules, any updates we might get in that area from the Registrar Scholar Group and potentially the Registry Scholar Group, which have been consulted on this topic. The bulk transfer, I think there was quite some discussion there last week, and those two items, validation rules and bulk transfer, will then lead us into discussing further our timeline for the transition of existing registrations in particular and how any updates affect that timeline. Then we'll look at the timeline for the new registration track, which we have not discussed in further details yet, so hopefully we'll find time to do that today. If we have more time, we'll look at one of the other open items we have on the scorecard for the existing registration, and that's the inter-registrar transfers issues. And we'll make sure we have a few minutes to discuss our meetings in Helsinki and next steps. Let me see if anybody has any comments or question on the agenda. Okay, I'm not hearing any, so let's get started. Let me load the scorecard, the latest version which we shared yesterday on the mailing list. Okay, so let's go, as I suggested, to the validation rules first. So validation rules, the only one that's really open is 3C here that I've highlighted in blue. So let me stop here and see if Theo can provide an update on this discussion with the registrar. Theo, yes, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Fabien. Hello, everybody. Not much there. We had a meeting yesterday, and basically from the previous input, there are no additions to the previous input. So I'm pretty done quick here. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. So if I remember correctly, the input we got from the Registrar Stakeholder Group revolved around using registrar data escrow format as for the bulk upload of registration data through files. Is that correct, Theo?
Yeah, okay, let me go back here really quick. What we discussed on the list was the validation rules. There's no objection there. So the proposed minimal requirements, we don't see any issues there. At least I didn't see any. I can't speak for the register group itself, but I didn't observe any objections there. And then there was indeed, as you mentioned, the RDE deposit as an alternative way of migrating data, and I shared the RDE deposit specs from ICANN last Tuesday on the list last week, and from what I gathered, Mark was going to look into it, and Mark was also going to gather some input from the Registrar Stakeholder Group regarding their call. I'm not sure how that went. I'm curious though. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Theo. So we'll get to the discussion of alternative ways of transferring existing registration data just after this. So let's just make sure we close the discussion on the validation rule. So if I understand correctly, the feedback from the registrar circle group seems to be that there is no objection, at least no objection observed from the registrar circle group or registrars participating in the registrar circle group to the proposal for the validation rules that were shared. Let me see if Mark has any specific update. I think Mark suggested that he did not expect any substantive feedback or objection either, but let's make sure that's the case. And if that's the case, then we can potentially close our discussion of the validation rules. Mark, are you with us?
Yes, Fabian, I am. This is Mark. I don't have an update from the registry stakeholder group yet on that one. You're correct. I don't expect that they would have substantive feedback, but potentially any feedback at all. But I would ask that you leave this open a little bit longer so I can just give them a chance to respond and before we close this one out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Would it be realistic to assume that we could get the feedback, if any, by Helsinki, so that we, when we're there, we can decide whether there's anything to do there or if we can close the discussion?
Part of the reason why I don't have feedback yet is the registry stakeholder group is really busy preparing for Helsinki, and I will not be able to attend Helsinki, so I don't know how realistic it would be to I don't know if it's realistic to say we'd be able to close it in the next week. Maybe 2 weeks would be more realistic.
Okay. So I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I think another alternative could be, you know, if we don't expect any objection, we could close this one and reopen should we hear any. I think this element is quite key for us to make sure that any discussion we have on the timeline in particular is founded on firm ground. So that's kind of why I'm eager to have this one clarified and potentially close as soon as possible. But for now, I'll just leave it open as you suggested, and we'll move forward from there. So let me now go to the discussion of the bulk transfer. So there were several elements. There were several elements still open. So 1A. Is the discussion around dedicated EPP connection. So that one we want to discuss. And the second one is what we just discussed with Theo. It's the data escort-based mechanism. So I think on both of these, Mark, if I understand correctly, you may have – do you have any news to share based on your investigations on any of these two?
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark again. So on the EPP question, we wouldn't do a dedicated EPP connections, but we do have two EPP channels available. We've talked about this in previous meetings, but there's a standard EPP connection channel and a batch connection channel. And they're both feature functionality wise the same. It's just one is designed to ensure registrars have access to the SRS to be able to do their standard operations, whereas the bulk or batch EPP connections are designed for more bulk or batch intensive operations. In particular, it's used heavily by registrars trying to re-register leading domains every day. So what I had proposed last week is that registrars use the the bulk EPP connection pool for the backfill of thick registration data for existing domains. And I guess both both Jody and Theo had some concerns about that would involve additional work for them. So I had the action item to go back and look at what that would it mean or what we would be able to support as far as allowing the backfill of data against the standard the standard EPP connection pool. So I did take that back to team. My technical team is evaluating that, and I don't have a final answer on that. They sort of had the same reactions I did. They were a little surprised and concerned that there was concern from Jody and Theo about their ability to do their bulk updates in the batch pool, but we'll continue to look at that and see what we can reasonably support from sort of a system and a throughput perspective on the standard pool versus the batch pool.
Theo, yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, and this is Theo. Mark, question there. Maybe I didn't hear it right. We were discussing it indeed last week about standard connection pool and the batch connection pool. We also talked, and it seems like that one is out of the window, is the one connection and go as fast as you can. Was that the dedicated one you were talking about that is no longer available, or did I miss something here? Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. That was a proposed alternative using the batch EPP pool. So it wouldn't be a separate dedicated EPP pool. It would be using the existing batch EPP connection pool, and what was proposed to me is sort of two options as far as how much how many transactions we could reasonably support, and sort of the two alternatives that was suggested was one, limiting transactions to 30 TPS. Without any cap on the number of connections. As an alternative, though, my engineering team felt very confident that if the bulk update of existing contact data was done using a single connection, that we'd be comfortable with registrar sending as many transactions as their systems would support over that single connection. So basically, no restrictions on the number of TPS if you're using a single connection. Does that make sense?
Yes, almost. And the single connection, is that still an option or is that off the table?
That's still an option, absolutely.
Okay, one question there, at least from our technical guys here in Holland. We discussed it, and they were really curious how that would go down in the sense of, like, we can transmit boatloads of data real fast, but we were wondering how VeriSign, the registry, would deal with the responses. I mean, you got to give something back to us. So they thought there would be some disconnect there. So I'm not sure, unless we just keep on transmitting data, and at the end of the session there is some kind of acknowledgement like data received. I'm not sure how that goes there, but we have some concerns there because every time we send something, we expect something back. At least that's sort of the way we're thinking now, and we don't see how fast that could actually go. We see a huge drag factor there, but maybe this is not wise to discuss without the actual specifics here. But that was our way of thinking here. Thank you.
Yeah, fair question. I think your question is part of the answer there. You know, for each EPP transaction, right? For the transaction to be complete, there's the command and then the response. And so over a connection, each of those, you know, over a single connection, each of those happens serially. So that in effect provides the throttling. So it allows both systems will go, you know, only as fast as they're able to. Right. So you hit the nail on the head exactly. So you send a command, then we send a response, then you send the next command, we send the next response. Right. And the two systems can do that as fast as they're both capable of doing it, but not any faster than that. So by limiting the transactions to a single connection, it keeps things serially. But then you know, we could allow both systems basically to go as fast as the two of them can operate together. That follows. Answer your question.
Yeah, it sure does. And actually, that sounds like it's going to be pretty fast if that actually works. Maybe we can go back to this on a later time and maybe discuss the actual speed. Maybe that is something other registrars would be interested in, to see if it's an alternative or maybe a very workable solution. Maybe we can speed up things here. I mean, I actually don't know how fast it will go. I mean, it would be faster than for the GPS, for sure, I assume, but those are details.
I would assume so. Yeah, I would assume it would be considerably faster. But a lot of external factors would be involved as well, right? Network latency certainly would be a factor, and you know, just how, you know, how much other traffic, you know, the systems involved are doing. But yeah, I would anticipate that, you know, you'd be able to go much faster than 30 TPS using that mechanism.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark and Theo. I see that Roger has posted a question. What do you think, Mark? What do you think that transaction limit is realistically on a single connection? 50, 100 TPS?
All right, Roger, putting me on the spot there. So if everybody agrees not to hold me to this, I would guesstimate at around 80 would be a realistic guesstimation.
Thank you, Mark, for sharing. Am I allowed to take note of it and put it in our scorecard? I can just mention it as
as long as nobody holds me to that.
Thank you, Mark. So just to make sure I captured this correctly for our scorecard, can you confirm that this single connection would be on the batch pool of connections, or it is still an option being considered that it could be on the standard pool of connection? Can you just confirm that to me? I'm not sure.
So our proposal would be for that to be on the batch pool, not the standard pool, for the single connection approach.
Okay. Thanks. I see we have Theo in the queue. Yes, Theo?
Thanks. This is Theo for the record. Mark, I'm going to circle back on this a little bit. I think it's important timeline-wise. I mean, this is then one single connection we have, and that could maybe go to like 500, 200 TPS ballpark number there. But we are still thinking, if we are doing this through the share pool, and we do a fruity TPS over 15 connections, we would easily exceed the number of connections of the fast lane, the fast one connection, so to speak. Any thoughts on that, Payne?
I think that's accurate. Having multiple connections is more taxing, right? So if you constrain the backfill to a single connection, then we don't feel it's necessary to have a TPS limit. Basically allow the systems to process as fast as they can. So I think it's reasonable to assume that the single connection alternative would allow for more TPS.
Thank you, Joe and Mark. Jody?
This is my observations, and this might be from a year ago or so, but just performing a check command usually takes about 30 milliseconds. And that's just a check. That's not a create or a contact create and all of that on top of that. So, realistically, you have to account for, the traffic, the amount of latency between, the registrar server and the registry server. In actuality, getting 30 TPS per second, I think, would be pretty good, from what I can see. I'm just curious, Mark. I know that our servers are coming from, across the United States, but I'm just curious what you think about that, Mark.
fair point. This was, we did some analysis based on, based on some tests we did, and, use the caveat, your mileage may vary.
There you go.
Maybe some tuning that can be done there, but I think you can probably get well up over 30 with there. Like I said, we were looking at the low 80s range at what we were doing when we did some tests there.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
That's a fair point, right? Writable transactions are more intensive and will take longer. But that was, we did our testing, trying to use a mix of transactions on that.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Okay. So, how far are we from closing this one, if I may ask? Trying to understand what we need next to consider this as closed. It seems to me that Mark's and the registrar's proposal is to offer those two options. Would be on the batch connection pool to either use several connections with limiting at 30 TPS over each of those connections, or use a single one and have no limitation other than technical network and systems limitation. So I think I'd be curious to see where registrar think we are on that path. Theo?
Thanks. And this is Theo for the record. I still wouldn't rule out the SRS pool here. We're still dealing with the fact that there's some development time involved there if people are not using the batch pool. And from my point of view is, if we are able to use the SRS pool, the shared pool, and FerriSign would accommodate that, then we would have just the registry accommodating us. And regardless if there's 1,000 registrars using the batch pool, or the other 1,000 registrars are using the SRS pool, at least those who are using the SRS pool don't have to make any modifications on their side. So that is a modification on one side versus a thousand modifications on the other side, on the registrar side. So I just don't want to exclude that just straight away, unless there are only a few registrars who use the SRS pool. But if there are some numbers here and we come up with a 50-50, then it wouldn't make any sense from a logical perspective that 1,000 registrars have to modify or switch over to the batch pool, which will require all kind of development time on their side, and we have no clue how well that is going to go over there. I mean, things with us, I mean, we are just a tiny registrar. We need to plan stuff like a half year in advance, and that is when we know it. And if we are talking registrars who are doing this at the very last minute, that's going to be, that can be tight, that can be problematic. Then again, we have no idea, but that is my logic here for supporting both SRS pool and the shared and the batch pool. Thanks.
Mark, may I ask if there is any possibility, or you envision any possibility of registrars using the SRS pool in a way or another for completing the transfer of existing registration data?
Yeah, this is Mark. Thank you, Fabian. I had anticipated the batch pool being sufficient, and really functionality wise, it's the same. It's just a matter of changing the VIP, the IP address that you connect to is really the only thing that changes. From my perspective, at least, but I frankly hadn't anticipated Theo's concerns there. So we certainly can consider it. I'll just need more time as all to take a look and see what we can reasonably support there.
Thank you, Mark. I think the key, as far as I'm concerned, is whether the registry is offering this option on the standard pool would change anything to the timeline. It doesn't seem to me, because in the best case scenario, you would offer, I'm not saying that you would, but you potentially could end up offering what you offer on the batch pool in terms of throughput on the standard pool. And so it seems to me that even if you take time to get back to the IoT on this topic, we can still move on to discuss what this all means timeline-wise. Would that be correct, Mark?
I'm not sure I follow. What do you... Can you say that again?
Let me try to say it more simply. So it seems to me that your investigation of using the standard pool would most likely not have an effect on the timeline we need to have to plan the entire transition for all the registrars. Is that correct?
I mean, I guess from my perspective, it wouldn't. But I guess I'm concerned. Maybe if I do some analysis and I come back and I'm not comfortable supporting the backfill over the standard pool, and then there's some impact to registrars who need to do additional development work to be able to do the backfill over the batch pool. I guess depending on the answer, there could potentially be some impacts to the timelines and transition.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. That makes sense. Theo, I saw your hand raised.
Yeah, just quick, really quick. Is it maybe an idea we just ask this some registrars in Helsinki while we're doing a session, just pop up the question and see if we can get any response? Is that an idea?
Thanks to you. I think we're hoping that Helsinki will indeed be an opportunity for the IRT to engage, you know, in hallways or in various meetings with other contracted parties. So that certainly makes sense. Thanks to you.
Yeah, one more thing. Personally, I don't see many issues here. I mean, we have some little development time, just an hour or so, making sure everything is set up correctly. So that's about it. But like I said, we are spread pretty thin here, so we are not able to speak for everybody else here. So, and that's my concern here. We have no idea what's going on. Thanks.
Thanks to you. And so I think, yeah, hopefully meetings like the Helsinki meeting is an opportunity to kind of share sideways with the various groups what's happening, and there's also the public comment. Eventually, we can always run documents through the stakeholder groups as we've done with the value additional. So, yeah, thanks, Theo, for sharing that. So can I suggest we move on to 1E and discuss whether there's any update or see if there's any update on Mark's analysis of the registrar data ISCO specification was shared by Theo on the mailing list. Mark, yes, please.
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark again. So just from my initial review of that, you know, there isn't auth info in there. So, you know, at a minimum, there would be changes necessary to that to be able to support the backfill of data. So it's not, you know, it doesn't contain, you know, the complete set of information. You know, so it would require work from, you know, in addition to whatever work we would need to do in order to support it, registrars would need to do some work in order to change that. I see a couple people typing in hands. I guess I'll stop there.
Theo, I see you're in the queue, and then we'll go to the chat.
Quick question, sort of. Mark, you guys already got the ALF code, right? I mean, you're already validating transfers. Or I'm missing something here.
This is Mark. So there's a domain auth code and there's a contact auth code. Right. So I see you're saying that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I was mixing them up. Thanks for the correction there, Mark. Thanks.
Yeah. So for everybody else, yeah. So we do have the domain auth code, but we do not have the we have the domain auth code. We do not already have the contact auth code, which is not included in what was provided. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So this seems to be leaving open the question of an alternative way of transferring existing registration data. So I wonder if anybody would like to discuss this further, or if this is something that needs some sort of engagement. Theo, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, thanks. So this is Theo again. You know, looking at this, basically what it boils down to, in my opinion, is, I mean, this is a additional proposal on to migrate data. I think registrars would be able to accommodate this, but if it's something that is not implementable at the registry side, and this is fairly new territory, what we are doing here, this is exactly textbook stuff here. So So there's a whole lot of considerations there. But if we can shoot this down at a registry level real quick, then I don't see any issues with it to dismiss this option. I was already a little bit skeptical at the first place, but if we are hitting really technical barriers here, then I'm not sure if we as an IRT should be exploring into the unknown here and spend a whole lot of focus on this, and then in the end to discover that we can do it because for this and this and this technical reason. So I'm pretty cautious here on how to move forward here. Thanks.
So, Mark, can you share a sense of whether this hot code issue is a significant obstacle that we need significant work to be overcome, or do you foresee that this could find a resolution in the timeline we're considering for our implementation plan?
Sure, Fabian. This is Mark. I think it's reasonable for the registries to provide a file-based bulk transfer option. I have some concerns about using the existing registrar data escrow file format as the basis for that. I certainly understand, Theo's hesitation there, and, I think, Theo and Jody and others have said they would prefer to use EPP, and I think that's, from a registry's perspective, that's certainly, easier and means less development work for us. So if everybody were to say, yes, we're just going to use EPP, I certainly wouldn't object to that at all. But I do think it's reasonable, for the registries to provide, a bulk transfer option and, for it to be based on the validation rules that the IRT has already agreed upon. I think given that, I guess I would just, put it to the IRT, is it enough for everybody to leave it up to the registry's discretion on, defining what that bulk transfer option would be, and leaving it up to us to implement that and making it available to the registrars, or does the IRT feel we should get into more specifics on how it's implemented? I think that's, the outstanding or the ongoing question there with the bulk transfer option. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for summarizing. And let's see if anybody on the IRT from the registrar side would like to respond to you.
Yes, and this is me personally speaking. I don't see an issue there. If the registry comes up with whatever additional method of migrating the data on their terms, I don't see an issue there. And that's me personally speaking. Thanks.
Thanks, Theo. Any other feedback? Jody?
This is Jody from GoDaddy. I don't have a problem with the data escrow, but I just don't think that's something that GoDaddy is going to use. I mean, we'd rather use the EPP commands to be able to do this because we can throttle this and it can just work, very consistently over a long period of time to be done instead of a lot of back and forth between the registrar and the registry. Because unfortunately that's what I see is that it will take time for DBAs to develop the scripts to get the information ready, send it to the registry. The registry will have to implement, create the contacts, attach them to the domains, and then send them back, with the contact droids, and then we have to update the database again. I guess I'm not seeing how it's easier to do the data escrow than to filter it in with EPP, you know, at a very throttled rate, so as to not to overload the registry, because it still has business, you know, business to conduct. And then this is part of the overflow, basically, and it should be throttled. We can't have 2,000 registrars hitting the registry at the same time, trying to create as many contacts as possible. Anyway, those are my thoughts on the data escrow or using that, because I think it's going to require much more manual intervention between the registry and the registrar on both sides. And I guess Mark could speak to it on the registry side, but I know what it would cause for us on the registrar side.
Okay, thank you, Judy. So if I understand correctly, your feedback is that a file-based bulk transfer option is not appealing to you, and so you have no specific issue with the registry potentially proposing one with a given format. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just can't see the value in it as far as we're concerned, because of the manual interaction that it's going to take from our side to do it. Because I think it'll be much faster for us to implement performing the EPP command and modifying our systems to do that, much more efficient, I guess, as far as developer time is concerned. Although it's going to take a very long time to get through all of them, it'll be once it's completed, we just let it run and it goes.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Mark?
Sorry, I was on mute. This is Mark. Yeah, Jody, you couldn't tell, but I was nodding my head when you were speaking there. I do agree with you. I think the file-based approach would be, more work, more back and forth between the registrar and the registry, and there's it introduces much more opportunity for human error using that approach. So, I absolutely agree with your comments there. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move on to look at what this all means to the timeline and the assumptions we've discussed so far, let me just see whether you think that this should remain open and discuss further, or should we close? So I'm talking about 1E here, as well as 1B potentially, where there seem to be, at least in the IRT, a sort of consensus that this is more complicated and more work than the EPP channel for completing the bulk transfer, and therefore we may consider only doing EPP. Would that be an option? And therefore, we'd close 1B and 1E on our scorecard and focus our discussion on the EPP channel. Theo?
Thanks. This is Theo. I'm not sure there. I mean, the entire... it came up during the discussion there, so I'm not sure. It's maybe an option we put it on the back burner and we just put it up for the registrars. I mean, like we had, like Jody said, we are going to do EPP also, but we were talking about alternatives. And that was an alternative, and if the registry wants to set up an alternative, I'm okay with that. I'm just not too keen on shooting down an alternative, because we all here on the IRT field, we should do EPP.
Thanks, Theo, for sharing. And so then my next question maybe to Mark. Mark, would you fast, or when would you be able to share some kind of first approach to what a file-based protocol could work, like a specification of the file you would propose and how that would work at a high level, not necessarily with all the details, but at a high level? I'm just trying to understand when what is next from here and how we can include this into our consideration of developing an implementation plan.
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. So I guess it depends on how much detail you need. That's not me, by the way.
Yeah, it seems to be Jody. Let me just. Okay, that's fixed. Okay, Mark.
All right, thank you. So I guess it depends on how much detail you need. So certainly, you know, it would be a file-based a file option based on the validation rules and the fields in the validation rules that we developed as part of the IRT. So, you know, for example, it'd be a CSV file, and each column in the CSV file would correspond to, you know, one of the values defined in the, or, you know, one of the fields defined in the validation rules. And each row would represent a contact. So, I mean, it would be a basic, CSV type format. Registrars would provide that to us. We would process that file and then send the results back to the registrar. Let them know success and failures. I mean, at a high level, that's basically how it would work. I can provide more detail on that, or if it's sufficient, within the IRT, we could just say, the registry, the registry, may provide, a bulk transfer, file-based bulk transfer option, to registrars to facilitate that. We can leave it open-ended for us to work out the details if that would be sufficient. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark, for the high-level description and that suggestion that it be left open in the implementation plan. Let's go to the queue. Judy, I see you have your hand up. I assume it's an old hand. Can I hear from Judy? Theo?
No, this is Theo for the record. Basically, you got your answer there, Fabian, at least from my point of view. I mean, there is an alternative. It's something like a CSV file, like Mark mentioned. It's pretty high level, but at least there's an alternative for registrars who want to use it. We are not going to use it, that's for sure, but if there are registrars who wants to have an alternative, well, there you go. They can put it in a CSV file, upload it, and get back the results. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks. Roger?
Yeah, hi, this is Roger. I think that I'm just going to agree with Mark and Theo here. I think that from the IRT perspective, we should say EPP and an agreed-upon format between registrars and registry, independently. And I think that really we could close these just saying, that verbiage saying, hey, it's something that VeriSign and a registrar can agree on, that file format.
Yeah, thanks, Roger, for the suggestion. So then I was actually thinking that, yes, we could just close those 1B and 1E on based on this discussion and describe what's the high-level proposal that Mark just described. So if there's no objection, I suggest we quickly move to discussing further our timeline. I see that we have 10 minutes left, so let's see how we can do this as rapidly as possible. So I'm going here to 7. So we have two elements mainly in the discussion of the timeline. We have 7 where we discuss what would be the length of the window, which would be available for registrars to transfer their existing registration data. From last week, we have a rough estimate of 18 months so far, and there was discussion as to whether the file-based option or the various EPP options in terms of throughput could impact this timeline and potentially reduce it. So let's see if anybody thinks that based on our discussion today, we can consider reducing that estimate of 18 months or whether we should stay with that estimate. Theo, please.
Yeah, this is Theo for the record. I think we should still stick with the 18 months there. I got to, at least for now, until a couple of things are being fleshed out or are being more detailed here, I think for now, put it on 18 months. If we get more information that things will go faster, then we can maybe put it to 12 months. But for now, keep it to 18 months. Thanks.
Thanks, Theo. Any other contribution? I saw Roger's hand come up. I don't know if it's gone. I see Roger is confirming. Okay. All right. So then we'll keep it where it is for now. And the other discussion on the timeline, I see Jody, would you like to speak to this topic?
This is Jody. I'm just agreeing with Theo. I think that 18 months is the minimum for now until we can see how fast we can get through adding the domains or adding the contacts. I wouldn't want to make it any less to start out of the gate with.
Okay. Thank you, Jody. And so the other topic we had discussed with respect to the timeline is how what sort of measures should be considered to avoid any bottlenecks right before the closure of that window to transition existing registration data. There were discussion of the challenge with silent registrars or those that are not necessarily engaged in this work or may not be very proactive. Yeah, so that's mainly the discussion. So let's see if there is any update there before we move on. Any additional thoughts? I see that Steve is typing in the chat. When will we revisit timeline? So I think that speaks to Jody's point that we should move forward with this assumption until we can refine it. So I think we're still waiting. From my understanding, it seems that we're waiting for additional feedback from Mark on the EPP channel for the backfill of existing registrations. And we'd have the file-based option, which I'm not sure we've discussed the impact on the time. So let me stop here and see if anybody would like to respond to your questions here. Theo, I see you have your hand raised. Is this a new hand?
Yes, this is a new hand. And I was going to answer on 7B. Let me address some of Steve's thoughts there. We also need to factor in how well the OT tests go. I mean, we are assuming that everything will be tickety-boo there, but we still need to do the actual testing, so you need to factor in that. So that's my point to Steve there. And when it comes to 7B, I think it's an excellent question to put that out on in the Helsinki meeting, see if some of the brilliant minds there in the community have some input there. Thanks.
Okay. And I see that Joyce was asking whether this 18-month window would be for loading contacts or everything, including domains. So I assume we've been talking about transferring all the existing registration data, including inclusive of domain registration, which should already be actually with the registry at this stage. But let me stop here and see if anybody would like to respond to that. Okay, I'm not hearing any answers, so I believe then what I said is correct, so this would be for all data, Joyce. Steve, I see you're asking, when will advance agenda for Helsinki be available so those of us attending can plan itineraries? So let's move on to that, unless anybody would like to further discuss the timeline topic. We have 5 minutes left, so let's move on to discussing the next steps. Okay, so the dates of the meetings are set now, and it's those that we shared last week. We're now sure of the timing. It's going to be Wednesday, 12:30 to 1:30 local time, and Thursday, 9:15 to 10:30 local time as well. So we initially set the goals of those meetings to really close the discussion of the implementation path, and that's mainly our scorecard, so that we're in a place where we can start drafting an implementation plan that can be reviewed by the IRT, and hopefully by the end of the summer we can agree on that implementation, on a proposed implementation plan, which would be submitted for public comment. So that's our target. So Steve, does that answer your question, or are you asking about specific agenda of discussion in those meetings in Helsinki? Okay, so while Steve is typing, I just want to mention, as specific as possible would be great. So, yes, sure. So we're discussing internally how to best structure those two meetings and the discussion in Helsinki. So we will get back to the mailing list with details as soon as possible. But I believe we would at least try to take stock of our scorecard and certainly discuss further our timeline so that we clarify exactly the type of timeline we're considering, which is a key parameter of the implementation plan. And so finally, I just want to mention that after the Helsinki meeting, so based on the progress in the meeting, we'll decide what pace we'll take for the IRT meetings after the meeting, whether we keep this weekly pace or whether we can take a bit more time, including reviews of documents we shared with the IRT. Because in particular, in addition to our transition discussion, we intend to have a revised consistent labeling and display implementation proposal for the IRT's review before it is published, which currently is targeted for this summer as well. So let me stop here, see if anybody has any questions or comments specifically related to our sessions in Helsinki. Theo, yes, please go ahead.
Yes, this is Theo. I just want to echo on what Steve Mattel had said, that it should be as specific as possible. That would be great. I'm looking forward to that also. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Theo. Roger, to your question in the chat, does the CLD include RDAP? So we've agreed a while ago that we would implement those in parallel. So our expectation is that we would indeed, when comes the time, publish those two together, at the same time at least. Does that answer your question, Roger? Okay. I'm not hearing any questions or comments. So thank you again for taking the time to be with us today, and thank you for the conversation and your sharing your perspective on each of these questions. We will be back in touch with you with an updated scorecard and specifics for next week's meetings in Helsinki. Thank you all. Safe travels indeed to those that are traveling to Helsinki, and we'll be in touch soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you all.